You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
Welcome to the new edition of the podcast from the Foundational Questions Institute. As usual, I don't even know why I bother.
Brendan, are you okay?
I just think to myself, what's the point of doing these shows? Is anybody listening? Sometimes I feel like...
Like the podcast is trapped in a hole carved out of time, so that no matter what we say or do, our words have been edited out of history and nobody else in the universe will ever be able to find any trace of them?
Yeah, I guess that's a bit more elaborate than I was thinking. But it's not like it's actually possible to cloak events in time.
Well, funnily enough, it is possible. Kind of. A couple of years ago, physicists proposed that it may be possible to develop a space-time cloak that hides events from outside observers. Since then, engineers have been using lasers to create gaps in a stream of light in which to hide secret optical data. Joseph Lukens at Purdue University in Indiana and his colleagues have just developed a cloak that can shroud data sent at 12.7 gigabits per second, more or less the same rate at which data is transmitted through optical fibers in telecommunication systems. The work was published in the journal Nature, and Lukens told me all about how and why his team set about making their temporal cloak.
I think it's kind of an interesting experiment in that if, say, one is communicating in the standard telecommunications way, it's an interesting idea in that our cloak makes it look like no data is being transmitted whatsoever. So in a sense, it's sort of a higher level of cloaking in that not only do we not see the data, but we don't even know the data is being transmitted.
Right.
So we think that's kind of an interesting aspect in that when our cloak is on, it looks as though nobody's trying to send data at all, when in fact they are. And so we think that could be interesting down the road.
How do you create, I guess, this sort of gap in time where you can kind of say things that you want and nobody will notice?
Yeah, in our case, we use the Talbot effect, which has not been applied to this area before. And the spatial Talbot effect is perhaps more well known. I believe it was discovered in 1836. And when you have a wave that's incident on, say, like a diffraction grating or something that separates the frequency components, you can get quite interesting interference patterns away from this grating. And in fact, the Talbot effect phenomenon describes how at discrete distances away from this grating, you'll get repetitions of the interference pattern. So it repeats itself. And in fact, they call the interference patterns like Talbot carpets, because a lot of times you can get, you know, very kind of exotic Persian rug looking type interference patterns. And so that's what happens in space. Now, using this idea of space-time duality, which means that under two different approximations to the wave equation, one in space and one in time, you can actually get a one-to-one correspondence in the variables so that what you do in space, you can do in time. And so we do a similar thing in time. We have a phase modulator, which is a component used in telecommunications that sort of acts as our grating, I guess. It has an optical input and an optical output. So you send a laser through it, and it's usually connected with fiber on either end. But it also has an electrical input as well. And depending on the voltage you apply across the modulator, you can change the refractive index of the material. So we send in an electrical signal that oscillates and changes this refractive index at a very fast rate. And this has the effect of changing the timing of the beam going through. And in this case, when we propagate it through a fractional Talbot distance, so the full Talbot distance is where the repetition occurs, and we actually look at a quarter of that. And the idea is that because the frequency components propagate at different speeds, at this particular distance, essentially these components at certain points in time, they cancel each other to get zeros, you know, no energy. And at different points, we maybe will get similar effects, but we don't get perfect cancellation where we have, you know, this hole in time where there's no energy.
And so these are the holes that you're now exploiting.
That's right.
So what do you do next?
Then we use what's called time lensing. And this is actually another phase modulator, but it functions a little bit differently. In this case, what we do there is take these pulses that we've created and then compress them like you would focus a beam in space. So, you know, you have a beam and you put a lens and you focus down to a small point. that's essentially what we're doing next, is we already have these holes in time, but we'd like to make them bigger so that we get a wider cloaking region. Then we can focus the beam down to a very small point where we have wide regions where there's no intensity, so that any time an event occurs in those regions, it doesn't interact with the light, so it's not detected. And then we can undo everything that we did, so that the second half of the picture is just undoing what we did by going through the fiber with the opposite sign of dispersion, which just means that if in one fiber red light goes faster than blue light, then in the next fiber we have red light go slower than blue light. So we can open up a gap by spreading out these frequency components, then close it back up by going through a medium that has the opposite properties. And that's what we do. And as long as whatever it is lands within those regions where essentially have zero intensity, we have no light, no matter what the event is, as long as it occurs there, it won't be detected.
How would, say that I'm trying to transmit a secret message to you,
mm-hmm.
How would you actually pick up the message on the other side? Because it seems like it would be hidden so well, it wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't see anything on the other side at all. You
yes.
just see the kind of the background noise going through.
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, how we implemented it here, that would be the case. The data is essentially erased from history, I would say. It's not going to be recovered doing anything else later. We can't do some special code or something that will show that the data was actually there. So I think in the first theoretical paper about cloaking, they phrased it a space-time cloak or a history editor. And in our case, it's like a history eraser, essentially. We can't get it back after that point, but I would say we've erased it. We haven't allowed it to happen so that it appears that even though somebody was trying to send information, it appears no information was sent.
Why would we want to do that?
Well, I could envision if someone was trying to send in their own probe laser to sort of pick up our information, we could also make them think we're not sending information, even though we are, by cloaking them. So, you know, depending on if you view the eavesdropper as the one putting up the cloak or if you're viewing putting up the cloak to prevent eavesdropping, either way, you're preventing someone from seeing the data who hopefully shouldn't see the data in the first place. I guess we can't say immediately that this is ready to be put in the ground and used in actual real-world links, but we believe that the technology that we've used definitely integrates well with existing communication infrastructure, and we think there could be applications down the road using this perhaps for secure communications. We feel we have applications-ready technology, but there's still some work maybe before we say, well, you know, here's the prototype, you know, mass produce it.
Thank you to Joseph Lukens for talking time cloaks with Zia there. If you visit the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, you'll find a link to their Nature paper. You'll also find a link to a story Zia wrote for Nature's News website, which explains more about how the cloak could help data transmission through optical fibers.